the Satan's snares that he uses against us to try to entrap us, to try to get us to depart from God and be unfaithful to Him, to lose hold of the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. And there are a couple others that we might mention that we must beware of, because this lion is ever out to get God's people. And as we think about the snares that he uses, another one we could add would be the snare of dread. You know, dread has to do with the idea of the anticipation of something with great fear. And that's the idea of what Satan often uses to cause us to doubt, to lose our faith. Think, for example, for a moment of the Apostle Peter. Jesus is walking on the water. Peter says, "Lord, if it's really you, ask me to come out to you on the water." And he tells him to come. And Peter begins to walk upon the surface of the water. Then the Bible says he begins to look around him and he sees the waves and the storminess surrounding him. And he begins to sink. Peter allows fear to creep into his heart. And he thinks that he is not safe. And yet, there's Jesus right in front of him. And there are times when we fail to remember that God is at our side, that Jesus said, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And we allow things in life to cause us to fear. And where there is fear, there's often associated with it a lack of faith. We have to overcome our fears. The fears that Satan would use against us can hinder us from doing all the wonderful things that God has set aside for us to accomplish as His people. Whether it be spreading the gospel, whether it be helping people who are in need. Various things that cause us to be afraid and therefore we don't act. So use dread to cause us to depart from the path that God has given us to walk on that will lead us to heaven. So we can't be afraid. Instead, we need to replace that dread, that fear, with confidence in God, with full trust in Him, as we read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." That's Peter. He's there and he's thinking, "What in the world am I doing here?" He's leaning on his own understanding, but he says, "Instead, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." So we have to, in essence, in our lives, just keep stepping forward in that water. And just keep going, knowing that the Lord is with us. And not be afraid of anything, though that's oftentimes easier said than done. It's natural as a human being to have fears and to have those things that we do not want to do. But when we stop and step back and analyze those fears, and then we think about the God who was with His people, and we think about the great contrast on the battlefield there. When Saul and his army, Saul and his warrior men, the Bible says, fled before Goliath. They were terrified of him. And here comes this young man, full of faith, without fear. He says, "The lion and the bear God delivered into my hands, and He'll do the same with this guy." And David was able to face Goliath. The challenges, the insulting, derogatory remarks that were made by Goliath toward David did not cause him to fear and turn around and go back. But rather he responded, he said, "No, you're the one who's going to be fed to the animals and the birds of the field. We'll have your carcass. Because I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts, whose armies you've defied." And David then begins to run toward Goliath. Puts a stone in the sling and casts it at Goliath, and it makes its mark right in his forehead. And the giant dies. He falls to the ground, that is, and David then takes his own sword, that is Goliath's sword, and with the giant's sword beheads him. And when the armies of the Philistines see that, they turn and they flee. And when the armies of Israel see that, they're filled with confidence. Their fears are no longer in existence because their hearts have been emboldened because of what they saw, a man who did not allow his heart to be filled with dread, one of Satan's devices to cause us to not fight the good fight, to not do the things that God has given us to do. Another thing that Satan uses against us is this one, desensitization. We're surrounded by a world of sin and darkness, and then we soon begin to think, you know, it doesn't seem so dark anymore. It doesn't seem so bad. And things all around us that we ought to just be horrified by, that just seem terrible, should seem terrible, aren't. And instead, we begin to be affected by the things that we are surrounded by. And maybe we don't say anything against those things, and then soon we begin to be involved in those things. We don't see anything wrong with those things. You've heard of, you know, the frog in the kettle syndrome, right? The frog placed in the water and the temperature is raised little by little and the frog is boiled alive because he didn't sense it coming on. Sometimes that's kind of how sin is. We're surrounded by it and we have all of these things, and if one generation doesn't put into the hearts of God's people the truth relating to the sin-filled world that we're in, sometimes the generation that comes along behind doesn't really have so much of a problem, doesn't see the great harm in such things. And so we become desensitized to that which we should be filled with disgust toward. And it should be something that is just vile to us. That's the attitude that God wants us to have. In order to avoid desensitization, what can we do? Remain close to God's Word. Love and cherish God's Word. Feed upon it day and night so that we will know the truth of what is considered by God that which is to God a despised thing, that which God detests. And when we see what God thinks about sin in all of its various sorts and kinds, then we ourselves will have the right and proper attitude toward those things that we should shun and hate and have nothing to do with, instead of allowing them to creep into our lives and participate in them and allow them to affect us because we have become desensitized to sin. These things, among many others, Satan uses to try to cause God's people to lose their souls, to rob us the joy that we have of the hope of eternal salvation, the wonderful life that God has enabled us to live. It will be a life very different from the world's. We will at times certainly be considered as outcast, different from the world, peculiar, strange people, despised and rejected as was the Son of God. But that's something to rejoice in and be exceedingly glad for, because that's what they did, the prophets who have gone on before us. So as we live faithfully before God, let us not fear Satan or succumb to his devices, but rather let us be illuminated by the Word of God and see things for what they truly are and be forewarned and thus be on guard so that we can stay ever close to God and on the path that leads to heaven. Are you there tonight? Is your soul in a saved condition? Because all of us have sinned, and therefore we need the forgiveness that God through His Word offers. His Son has died. His blood is available to wash away all your sins, but that blood is applied to your soul after certain things are done. Faith is where it begins, that you believe Jesus Christ is God's Son, that you want to turn away from a life of sin, repenting of your sin, changing your mind, and thus your actions follow suit, and you live for God from this day forward. Confessing the faith that you have in Jesus Christ is also taught in the Scriptures. And then people must be immersed in water. Baptism is where the blood is applied. And our sins are washed by Jesus' blood and forever forgotten by God. And it's only when we turn back into sin, as a child of God, we can weaken, we can be pulled by the world, we can be deceived by Satan's devices, and we can stumble. But if we're ready to come home, God's willing to receive us. And if you need to respond tonight to His invitation, we invite you to do that as we stand and sing.